Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
You know, every now and then people need a notable miracle.
Amen.
You know, that.
Amen.
When people, when a miracle happens, some people love it and some people get mad. Remember when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, they wanted to stone Jesus and Lazarus, when you read on down, because the religious leaders, they were looking at the people. The people were being affected by, they were believing on Jesus because Lazarus was raised. And they wanted to stone Jesus, and they also wanted to stone Lazarus. So that never changed. People are no different now. But I know the Lord's going to do notable miracles as his people obey him.
That's true.
And the thing that's consistent is he always did it on top of foundation.
Yes.
He didn't do it, people weren't living raggedy lives, and then God do a miracle. They were doing what they were supposed to be doing, preaching the gospel, being effective, and then the Lord would do miracles. Last week we got Peter out of jail in verse 16.
Amen.
Verse 16 reads, "But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But he beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, Go show these things to James and to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place. Now as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers, for it was become of Peter. And when Herod had sought for him and found him not, he examined the keepers and commanded that they should be put to death. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea and there abode. And Herod was highly displeased with them of Tyre and Sidon. But they came with one accord to him, and having made Blastus the king's chamberlain their friend, desired peace, because their country was nourished by the king's country. And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them. And the people gave a shout, saying, It is the voice of a God and not of a man. Mm-hmm. You know, pride loves pride. Verse 23, And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not God the glory, and he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. Now I would say Herod had hatred in his heart towards the gospel, because he killed James and tried to kill Peter. Then he killed the guards who were in control of the jail when Peter was led out by the angel. And then he was in pride before the people, and the angel smote him. Mm-hmm. Immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not God the glory, and he was eating the worms and gave up the ghost. But the word of God grew and multiplied. And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry, and took with them John, whose surname was Mark. The world is already judged, but in the days of the tribulation, God's going to judge the world. But when the world, people of the world, interfere with the people of God, their judgment can be rushed. It can happen today, even during the days of grace. It's dangerous for people to work against God's people. It won't be good for them, especially when they know better. Was this the same Herod that when Jesus died on the cross?
The same guy.
Mm-hmm. And the same one that had John the Baptist
beheaded. That's right, same guy.
When pride was in his heart, there's Daniel chapter 5, another situation happened with Nebuchadnezzar. Now, Daniel told him about his dream, how that he would be, you know, the dream he had about the tree, how it would be cut down, tied to the ground for 7 years, and then restored. All right, after the handwriting on the wall, This scripture, I'm not going to read the whole thing to save time, but in chapter 5, verse 20, it says, "But when his heart was lifted up," now watch this, "and his mind hardened in pride, he was disposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him." God was able to restore Nebuchadnezzar. His heart was lifted up in pride, but his heart wasn't hardened toward God. Same guy who said, "If anybody speak against the God of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they will be put to death in their house made of dunghill." And he would worship God sometimes, but he still loved the praises of the people. But the difference is, his mind was hardened in pride. His heart was not as hard as his mind was. And after 7 years, he gave God the glory. Now, the heart is where we live from. If we love God in our heart, our life will reflect it. If we replace the love of God with pride in our heart, our life will reflect it. Now, Lucifer, on the other hand, in Isaiah chapter 12, Isaiah 14 and 12, it reads, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the ashes of the pit." But he said this in his heart. He had something in common with Herod. He had hatred toward the will of God in his heart, and love for his own pride. Pride looks within. Faith looks to God. And faith is the highest form of sincerity. Now, Nebuchadnezzar was somewhere in the middle. He was different. His mind was hardened in pride. He was restorable. Herod and Lucifer were not, because of what was in the heart. When we replace, when we fill our hearts with God's word, it becomes part of who we are. Last week I was talking about how faith, the Lord said that faith is the highest form of sincerity. And when he said that, I said, "Well, Lord, I thought you said that faith was a definer." And then he said, "Faith is a definer because faith is the highest form of sincerity." But he also said this: when you receive the word, you have faith, and faith becomes a part of you. It's just like my arm. Habakkuk said, "The just shall live by his faith." When we have faith, that we can use it at our will, and we can destroy the works of darkness. We can our faith can shield our heart from contaminants of the world. We can shield our heart from allowing the world to enter in, and we do things like the world. And we can develop and grow to the point that when the enemy throws his worst, our faith can shield it. Faith is the highest form of sincerity because faith looks to God. If the eye be single, the whole body will be full of light. Faith is full of light. So, and the only way it'll produce in our life is that if we have faith in our heart and no doubt in our heart, and then we release it through speaking it. When we release faith without doubt in our heart, it has to happen. There's nothing on this earth, there's nothing in the world system that can overcome our faith. It has to happen. It can literally move mountains. And if it can literally move mountains, it can literally remove spiritual problems, any works of the enemy. And it has, the Lord recognizes it. He recognizes true faith. Just like a man has a single eye towards God, he's looking to the Lord, he's not looking within, he's not looking at other people, he's directly looking at the Lord. That's what happens as we follow God. As we go, there's we have to go in praise and worship in his presence and learn who he is, learn what he has to say. When the Lord would give me, though, I got discouraged back in 98 when I was talking about all that, because I knew that if these pastors, these men of God, would go in the Lord's presence, he would give them strategies for their ministry. All right, you go back to the beginning. Who called who to the ministry? And all ministers have this in common: the Lord called them. So why say, "Lord, I got this. You follow me"? But that's what's happening. Now, that's not what they say literally, but that's what they do. Because when the Lord wants to give them something, they argue with it. When the Lord show them what he wants them to do, they say, well, they don't want to do that. They want to do what they sanction. And they can't. The anointing is designed with the mission in mind. God, the Holy Spirit is the one who engineers what our anointing will do. He's given us God's ability to perform and finish a specific task. So with that said, prosperity is in it. Some ministers prosper because they're anointed. They have God's ability to do this thing, so prosperity is automatically in their anointing. And as long as they obey that anointing, as long as they're faithful with it, they prosper. They prosper beyond reason. But it's not because of their wisdom. It's because they have God's ability to do that mission, and it includes prosperity. So other ministers see how great their ministry is, and they try to duplicate it. And they try to go about it the wrong way. And your anointing will cause you to do what you're supposed to be doing, not what somebody else is supposed to be doing. And I had that revelation. And I knew that the Lord would have to give them their personal strategy. And then they'd have to stick with it. They had to receive the word and develop in them, and they'd stick with it. Peter was anointed to go out and minister. They were interfering. They put him in jail. He had God's ability to leave that jail. and the Lord fought his battles. People who tried to stop him died. The jailers died and the king died. So we got Peter out of jail. We'll begin at chapter 13 next week. You're going to see miracles as you go in the Lord's presence.
Amen.
And don't limit God to how he do. He's going to do what he's going to do. If you follow him, you'll learn what he wants you to do. And it'll make sense. He explained things about what he's given me to do. And I asked him, sometimes I present myself before him. I said, "Lord, am I on track? Am I doing exactly what you want?" And I let him tell me. And I said, "Help me make whatever adjustments you want done."
All right.
My biggest prayer is help me do what's in your heart, because I don't know. If it's not by might and power, it's not in my mind. I have to receive from him what to do, and then it'll work.